Blog Talk Radio.
Being hosted by Kingdom Builders International, which I'd like to share so you can have more information about Kingdom Builders. Kingdom Builders is located at 16250 Northland Drive in Southfield, Michigan, zip code 48375, suite 369. The service times are 11 a.m., Pastor Teresa Dock. Now, you want to make sure that you take the opportunity to sow into what God is doing. KBI is good ground to sow into. You can send your donation to Kingdom Builders at that same address or log in to KingdomBuildersPlaza.com. All donations are tax deductible. You can attend the services at 11 a.m. on Sundays or join them for Wednesday's Jesus Encounter at 6:30 p.m. You can call in for prayer or send your prayer request in. The prayer line is open Monday through Friday at 5 a.m. Central, 6 a.m. Eastern. That number is 218-895-0280. The code is prayer, the letter T-R-A-Y-E-R, or 772-937. Now, we're excited to announce Kingdom Builders Developmental Institute Ministry Classes. If you believe that God is calling you to ministry and you don't know what to do next, give us a call and watch God work. Acts 6 and 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Get training, get equipped to manifest. Now, for more information, you can call 313-583-9739. The internet radio information, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/KBI, and then click on the links for updates and speakers and events. We are focused on developing character, excellence, and integrity in our youth, along with self-enrichment programs for families that are in need of mental, emotional, and spiritual support. You can always contribute, log in, or call to find out more about this youth project. And if you want that number again, it is 313-583-9739. And now we've gotten that out of the way, let's go right into our programming. Welcome, Elder Peoples. How are you tonight?
Praise the Lord. I'm fine. Thank you, my dear sister in the Lord, and also my lovely wife.
Thank you.
Sister Civil Peoples, thank God for you and thank God for this opportunity. And as always, I only just say it is of the Lord's mercy that we have not been consumed because his compassions fail not. And the beauty of it is they are renewed each morning, and great is thy faithfulness. So I'm grateful to God for the opportunity to be here.
Well, I so appreciate you making that announcement because I failed to do that. I am Sybil Peoples, your host, and I have with me, joining me here this evening is Elder Melvin G. Peoples, Jr. And we're going to get right into our topic tonight, Elder. The programming is entitled Ministry Branding. Is it worldly or godly? What do you think, Elder?
Well, you know, the idea or the concept of branding is probably one of the most important aspects of any business, you know, whether it's a large or small or a retail business. And an effective brand strategy gives the business a major edge in increasing competitive market. And unfortunately, and I do say unfortunately, that in this time frame of the body of Christ, in this particular dispensation of grace and truth, and what I believe to be the Laodicean movement of the church, we have embraced a business model in our efforts to promote the church of God.
I approached the subject matter having a passion and a love for business, and I thought about just what you described or how you eloquently define what branding is. And I understand that there is the good, the bad, and what we are really seeking is the balance. Without a doubt, the workman is worthy of his hire. And I understand that most of the time that scripture is applicable in finances, holds that the idea also is applicable in praise. That if you are a minister or operating in a ministry gift, the accolades, the praise, the reward seem like a right thing. So if I have a reputation, if I have a following and popularity because of this wonderful gift from God, it can't be wrong. It doesn't appear to be like this might be the work of the enemy.
Well, you know, I think that each and every one of us who have the Holy Spirit, we have to seek the consciousness of God concerning this matter, because when you talk about the idea of branding and using the patterns and the ideas that we just mentioned, what happens is it causes the body of Christ in many places to become competitive with one another as opposed to collaborative.
Right.
Amen. So churches are competing mm-hmm. with one another just as a business brand would.
Yes.
And that in some ways that makes the other churches rivals. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And so when we go from being competitive to collaborative, what happens is in the body of Christ we still have the presence of God, we still have the anointing, but what we have is a lot of times we have implosions in the body mm-hmm. instead of the explosion, which is external. Mm-hmm. Amen. We center our efforts and our energies on the local assembly about and the concern about our personal growth.
Yes.
And the purpose of every believer in Christ is that we should be a witness. When God gives us the Holy Spirit, he says, after the Holy Ghost has come, you shall be witnesses. That is the first order of business for a child of God, is to be an effective witness to the world. And sad to say that we in many places, we have not got to the place where when we give our witness that we're more concerned about people having intimacy with Christ as opposed to coming to our church.
Yes, have an identity with us as individuals.
Amen.
Whether I am doing soul winning on my job, whether I'm trying to invite people to Christ, or am I trying to get people to see me versus seeing Christ.
And let me say this here, that what that does is it makes us self-centered.
Yes.
And it makes us more competitive. And unfortunately, we all know this. We see competition in the body of Christ, and competition concerning our choir is better than their choir. Our pastor is more renowned than their pastor. And unfortunately, we have allowed these to become many times the goals. Amen. And that's a pattern that is really indicative of this dispensation of grace and truth in this particular period of Laodicea, which is where the things of our desire becomes the highest priority.
Well, I mentioned earlier about where's the balance. What is it that the Lord is pleased with? What is approved by him? And the scripture that was our theme scripture was Philippians 2:7. And I would just like to give this fragmented scripture. It says, but he made himself of no reputation. And this is speaking of Jesus. He made himself of no reputation.
And you know what? That is a powerful statement. Here it is. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. The creator of the whole universe in his spiritual essence. All power in his hands. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. But he makes himself of no reputation. And that statement alone should humble us all to realize what is the priority. Why? Because Jesus as a man was mission-minded. He came to do the will of his Father. And his Father's will through his sonship, Jesus Christ, was to seek and to save that which was lost. And that was his whole mission. And we as a collective body of Christ, we must get back to what the mission is. The mission is to seek and to save that which is lost. If the world is not being convicted, if the world is not being touched by the church, if the world is not being touched by our lives, we have to go, as the old folks say, back to the old landmark.
Without a doubt. And with Christ's mission to seek and save that which is lost, I also want to bring up that unfortunately, a lot of believers want to transfer that responsibility to the title.
Amen.
They want to look at that great commission to be Christ-like in seeking and saving that which is lost. It's the pastor's job because he can preach, or it's the evangelist's job, or sister can sing a song job, or some of the other, or mothers sit on the front row and looking and comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, again, that implosion, but that mission to be Christ-like, to go and let your light so shine in the world so that you are taking up this cause that Jesus so majestically completed.
And you know, Sister Sylvia, you make a great point. And in many ways, in the local assemblies in the body of Christ, we have failed from the pulpit, and I support men of God everywhere. We have failed in the pulpit to make brothers and sisters understand that when you are a witness for Christ, you don't have to have a biblical argument to convince them.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because when you look in the New Testament, the arguments that those people made concerning their connection to Jesus, or their being touched by Jesus, or their encounter with Jesus, was simply their personal experience. They didn't quote scripture. They did not go in the Old Testament and quote from Genesis to Malachi.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "Come meet a man."
Okay.
Okay.
I think we made this point before. They said, come meet a man and tell me everything about myself. They were the thing that made them inspirational was their personal encounter with Christ, having been touched by him. And I understand that from a very personal experience, and I've said this on numerous times in the past, how I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't have any scriptures. I didn't have no church history. I met a man.
Yeah.
And he introduced himself to me. And my encounter with him caused me to go and to seek out those who had similar encounters, which means I found me a church.
Amen.
And so what am I saying? We have made the experience of Christ as being an effective witness a very technical thing. I understand the importance of teaching, you know, eschatology and biblical theology, but it is about the personal believer's experience that's going to touch the world.
Well, yeah, I totally agree. And when I think about witnessing, as they named it, mm-hmm. or soul winning, whichever you choose, it is one thing that is true on the natural, in a natural sense, but it is dynamic in a spiritual sense.
Yes.
And that is our natural and God's supernatural,
yes,
meeting together to have this explosion. And the explosion, I believe, is fueled by passion.
Yes.
Because that is what God is looking for. He is not looking for robotic creatures.
Amen.
He's not looking for clones.
Amen.
He's not looking for us to mimic and what you call it when the servicemen lockstep.
Yes.
He's not looking for us to be elbow to elbow, armed to the identity that you've seen one, you've seen us all.
Yes.
But he's looking for the individual fingerprint, personality, individual passion, individual identity of his body to say, you got what this person needs.
Amen.
I've put you on a path, and as you go throughout your life, you have the goods to change the world you touch.
And you know, you made a powerful statement when you said when his supernatural touches our natural.
Yes.
And that's exactly what having intimacy with God is about. And that's what Christ was. Christ was God in humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It was the supernatural, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God who's decided to house himself or to make contact or to robe himself into humanity.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we must, as believers, must continue to emphasize, that we are all powerful. We're not powerful because we read from Genesis to Revelation. And that's the great thing. It's a wonderful thing to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. But the thing that makes us power is understanding who we are.
Yeah.
That's what makes us powerful. It makes me think about the documentary we were watching earlier this week about the African lifestyle.
Yeah, that was wild.
We're talking bush Africa.
Yeah.
We're talking about out there in the deep of Africa, the thing that amazed me about these men was, these men, and I believe it was three of them, if my memory served me right, they walked upon a whole, what do you call it, a school of lions? Or,
it was about eight of them.
It was about eight lions. People listen to me. And I was amazed. I got all kind of spiritual revelations from that. But they knew who they were.
Mm-hmm.
They walked up to those lions knowing that those lions could sense fear.
Yeah.
And they walked up to them. And the lions scattered, but they were more than willing to die for what they understood and believed.
Yeah.
But because of their confidence and because of that awareness of who they were, the lions took off.
That was wild.
That was amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's who we are in Christ. We're like lions. Many times we just don't know it. Mm-hmm. But we're powerful people. Anytime you can change humanity, anytime you can change a circumstance, anytime you can change an atmosphere, that makes you supernatural.
Well, you know, the title of the message, Ministry Branding, is it worldly or is it godly? Without a doubt, there are people in this journey, there are people in this world who are powerful.
Yeah.
They are influencers.
Yeah.
There are world changers, if I could use the term, being bought and purchased by God and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that causes us to be a game changer.
Amen.
So even if there may be powerful speakers and great people with all sorts of natural gifts, the playing field is level when we have the Holy Ghost.
Amen. And you know, the thing that we also have to keep in focus of, and it takes us back to our opening passage, was that Jesus made himself of no, and one of the translations says he made himself nothing. That is, he made himself of no reputation. And he took on the form of a servant. I'm going to submit myself to the very humanity that has denied me. I'm going to commit myself to the very limitations that all of humanity have fallen up under because of the Adamic failure. And yet I'm going to give them a perfect example of how to be an overcomer.
Yeah.
And that is power, and that's what we are as believers in Christ. Yes, we are powerful, but at the same time, we have to recognize the balance that God has automatically put into our journey with him, is that there are times when we're going to have a humble experience. There are times when we're going to be sick and we may not get well. Yes, God is a healer. He is Jehovah Rophi, the Lord God that healeth us of all of our sicknesses and diseases. But does it make God unfaithful if we don't experience the thing that we hope for?
Well, no, it doesn't change God and who he. And when you make that statement, it you know you could get in trouble with that. But just to piggyback that statement, I think about the baby, your nephew. And without a doubt, from the time we enter into this world, it's full of details.
Yes.
And having the mindset that as long as I have this relationship with God, I'm not going to experience anything is really not naivety.
Yes, it is.
Because babies go through.
Yes.
The simple thing of growing, and some children have growing pains, the simple thing of teething,
yes.
All sorts of aspects of our journey, we have experiences. Not many people on this planet that can say, I never had a cold, or I never had an ache, I never
yes.
had a pain. If your pain lasted a couple of hours, or if your pain lasted a couple of decades, we have experiences in this fleshly walk.
Amen.
And for sure, God is a healer.
Yes, yes.
But I like with the way you put it. If we don't experience the deliverance in the time frame we have expectation for, it don't mean that he is still not a healer nor a deliverer.
Amen. And you know, Sister Sybil, as believers, we must always realize that we stand upon a grand stage. Our lives our grand stage. Amen. God will often allow us to have experiences that they may witness to the unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
How we manage those experiences say a lot about our God, whom we have testified about, we've sang about him, we've gone into public arenas and talked about him. People go to their jobs and they're witnessing to other people. And people are watching us when we say we have intimacy with the true and the living God, and our lives seem to fall apart.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Because some people, unfortunately, theologically, are under the misguided notion, and I say that again, the misguided notion that because you have an intimacy and a closeness with God, that your life should automatically reflect success. It should automatically reflect always having good health and always having worldly prosperity. But God have experienced everything under the sun. Some of the finest human beings in the world are now being persecuted in other parts of the world in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. There are people who are being killed, and they're being martyred in the name of Jesus, even as we sit here in comfort and talk about the Lord.
Yes.
And so what are they going to do? They're going to decide that because I'm going through this, the Lord doesn't love me? No, because God did not, he didn't even spare his own son. If it was anybody that could have got deliverance, it would have been Jesus. But it's all about the divine purpose.
And you mentioned a little while ago, and said it so wonderfully, about knowing who you are.
Yes.
Knowing who you are, knowing that whatever has been, whatever is the script for your situation,
yes,
there's grace for it.
Yes, it is.
There's grace. As Paul had the conversation with the Lord, and he said, he responded and said, my grace is sufficient.
Yes.
Amazingly, I've seen things happen to people, and my stomach flip-flops. Oh, my. But I'm really beginning to understand how it is a grace from on high to go through some pretty incredible, undescribable. I also want to say this. We've talked about this previously, but I want to reiterate it. When we talk about knowing who we are, we talk about branding. Is it worldly or is it godly? One of the big mistakes we make as believers, and it's a trick of the enemy. I don't blame any of us at times because we sometimes are naive victims.
Yes.
But a trick of the enemy is to cause us to believe in the ability to do God's work within our own natural ability.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to be an effective witness, I'm going to be effective in carrying out the Great Commission to seek and save that which is lost, I cannot rely on my own personal prosperity.
Yeah.
Because it is without a doubt, as the story in the scripture talks about the rich man,
yes,
who saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, that parable. And he says, well, if you do nothing else for me, go tell my brother,
yes,
about this place that they won't end up here. And the response from the Lord was, your brothers have the prophets.
Yes.
Your brothers have individuals who are there witnessing them to them about God, and they're still rejecting it.
Amen.
And that is a real good example of how we can approach someone, and we can have the greatest, what a lawyer would present before a jury. The greatest argument.
Yes.
We can have such common sense why we should pursue or turn or call Jesus Lord. It just seemed to make sense, but they never get it.
Yes.
Their understanding is never open.
Yes.
Or we can have wealth untold,
yes,
and it never impresses the world, because the job of the commission of seeking and saving that which is lost is a spiritual matter.
Amen.
And we cannot use natural things to fuel the spiritual matter. We can take the spiritual matter and carry it out. We can take the spiritual matter and carry it out in a natural form.
Amen.
But we can't flip flop it.
Amen.
We cannot dress, talk, educate, impress, use our gifts in any matter to save. The whole journey of salvation is a miracle.
Amen.
It is the changing a fleshly heart, changing a stony heart into a fleshy heart. It is the act of taking an individual and creating a whole new spirit in them.
Amen.
This is not a man matter.
Amen.
This is a God matter.
And you know what else, Sister Sybil? We have to make it a labor of love.
Yes.
Far too often, as witnesses for Christ, and many of us have been guilty of this, especially when we were perhaps babes in the Lord and novices. We have, you know, been excited about our newfound intimacy with God and having the Holy Spirit, and we were calling ourselves giving an effective witness, and basically people some of them rejected us, and we gave them a real hard response.
Guilty.
But you know, and that was part of our zeal. But the thing that we have to keep in mind is that the world has no intimacy with God outside of us.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
And I'm saying that to say, no, it's not to say that God doesn't, by his spirit, visit people and things of that nature, but we are the representation.
Yeah.
If they see judgment and criticism in us,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be the tendency that assume that our Heavenly Father is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
If when we are offended, we write them off and we say, oh, you're on your way to hell, you know, they're going to take that as, in some cases, because they have no real relationship with God themselves, they're going to take that as God's attitude. And even today in the body of Christ, places we have not learned the value of God's love and grace. Praise the Lord. Trying to convince the world that they're going to be lost is not the message that God intended to give them for redemption.
Yeah, he intended to draw them with love.
He wanted to He wanted them to understand that it is a great blessing and a benefit to come to him and have intimacy with him and to be loved by him and to be embraced by him. But if we tell them you don't get saved, you're going to hell, it almost gives the enemy a foundation upon which to keep them bound, because it says to them. To the sinner, you don't have any real wiggle room. You've got to respond now, and he's responding out of fear. God, it is a contradictory message to some extent. It is the message is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever will and whoever wants to come, that comes to him. Would not perish, but have everlasting life. There is no statement of judgment in that. It says, come to me. I love you. I want the world to know I love you. And the world gets their first taste of God through us.
And it's love that we're touching on. When new converts are bathed in this love from God, the new convert has a easier time accepting that righteousness.
Amen.
They have an easier time accepting who they are in Christ.
Yes.
As you mentioned earlier about the enemy and his job is to keep us from knowing, to keep us from walking in this, we are accepted in the beloved.
Yes.
That right there, the fear and the intimidation and the probationary mindset is the work of the enemy to imprison us.
Amen. And see, we still have to understand that the sinner, he was born into a situation that basically, as an individual, he had nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Adamic failure, God's separation of humanity from his intimacy took place for all men from Adam forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is we become natural born sinners.
Mm-hmm.
You were born in sin, you see, shaping in iniquity. Now, you can't change that. The change has to come through the doctrine of imputation. God imputes, that is, he puts it into our account, his righteousness, when we believe.
Yeah.
And that is the message. God is the message is to the world. God got something for you can't get on your own, and he's going to love you, and he's going to embrace you, and he's going to treat you as his son, and he's going to bless you, and he's going to prosper your life, and he's going to deliver you from a lot of ugly things. That is the message. And we try to create fear. We get the same response that God got when Adam sin. Where you at, Adam?
We talked about that last week.
I knew I was naked. Who told you was naked?
Yeah.
His own conscience.
Without a doubt, it is the primary goal of God that we as his very own receive this love he's bestowed.
Amen.
Jesus going to the cross was the greatest act of love.
Yes.
And that is his desire, that we receive his love that was such a great price to pay.
Yes.
That we would have it. And coming all the way back to our topic, ministry branding.
Yes.
As we are addressing ministry gifts, whether you're in a church, out of church, whatever position, if you call yourself an evangelist and you're not per se in a church, or I love this apostle, bishop, whomever has a title affixed before their name, the balance of what God is calling in regard to unique identities in the body of Christ versus falling to the error of doing your ministry as business and with the application of branding. Branding, and I like the definition you gave, it is a great tool. It can be very useful. It can be the very thing to cause you to prosper. But when it comes down to God's business, we call the church a business. But when it comes down to God's business, I like to give this scripture. I found this very applicable. I'm using that word a lot tonight for the topic. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root to all evil. And a lot of times in our ministry business, money is a really, really big factor, because in our Laodicean church, whether we consciously or subconsciously, we have that conversation that I am impressive because look what I walk in.
Yes.
Look what I drive. Look how I dress. Look how I roll.
Yes.
And in that, believing that that is going to cause people to draw to you.
Yes.
What a lie. What a lie. Because I can tell you it is a ton of people, unmeasurably, unable to number the people who have wealth. And people don't want to follow them. People do not want to hear them. They don't want to listen to them. So to believe that you have a goal or your mission is to build the following, build the numbers, create the popularity, cannot be what God intended.
You know, and having been in ministry for over 30 years, I've seen it intimately, and it is unfortunate, you know, that in many, many circumstances, in many places, this is what it has become. I think that ministers have to be very, very careful that they don't fall into that pit. There's a tendency for people in ministry to be adored, to be honored, to be respected, and that's a great thing.
Yeah.
But the man and woman of God has to always things in their proper perspective.
Can I quote this scripture? Don't forget your thought. 1 Timothy 5:7, worthy of double honor.
Yes.
Those who labor in the word are worthy of double honor. For sure.
Yes.
I hear you that the rewards that God has dispensed concerning those who have a committed lifestyle and sold out to do God's will.
Yes.
Deserve honor.
Amen. And those people, whomever they are, whatever their circumstance is, you know, that matter is a matter between them and God.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that there's also a tendency, and we wouldn't be representative of God if we did not speak of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tendency for those to pursue filthy lucre.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, in many places in the body of Christ, that's the tendency. It's about It's about money. And unfortunately, you know, as a minister, it even troubles me to talk about it, because I have such a great passion and concern about those type of things. You know, I try to respect people, but when I find out behind the scenes that, you know, ministers that I've known back behind the pulpit in the back room fighting about money and arguing about I didn't get this and I didn't get that, you know, if someone defrauds you, take it. Because the bottom line is God is the one that has called us. Amen. And it has a tendency to taint the gospel as a whole.
I like the scripture, you cannot serve two masters.
Amen.
If you have the mindset that you freely receive from the Lord, and now you about to take some heads about the role because you didn't get compensated for what you received freely.
Yes.
That should not be.
And you know, as a minister, I've had a ton of experiences over the years. I have gone to churches and I spoke, and I went in the back and I cleaned myself up and got the sweat off of me and got my clothes on. And when it was time to go, the church was empty. I didn't get a dime. But I didn't go there for that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in situations where, you know, people, you know, don't want to give. I've had folks ask me about coming to places and speak, and they say, how much you charge? I said, if I can get there, I'll minister and I'll leave that up to you. Because that's my conscientiousness. That's another man's responsibility between him and God. But I think that this is bigger than that. You know, it's bigger than how much money. And I respect those who've earned money and comfortably so and rightfully so. That's a fine. That's between them and God. But we would be naive and we would not be honest if we did not, at the very least, address this matter. Because it is a problem. It is a problem.
It's a big problem. Oh, my. It is such a big problem that the world, those who are, per se, outside of the church, it's leaving an awful bad taste in their mouth.
Yes, it is.
Because they are looking at the church. They're looking at the level of their ambition. They're looking at their relationship to prosperity, and they're looking and they're saying the church is no better than they are.
Yes,
they're worldly, they're greedy, they're hungry, they're ruthless, they're lacking integrity, and they're looking and they're not seeing the presence of an all-powerful God that has the power to change them. All they look and they see like people like them. And we can dance and shout and we can drive good and we can dress good, but when it comes down to it, they're not impressed with our greed.
Amen. And there are many fine brothers and sisters out there. But in some cases we have definitely tainted our image. You know, we started out talking about you know, the different types of believers in Christ, and those seven churches in Asia Minor, as much as those are seven characters for seven different churches in Asia Minor, it's also a representation character of each type of believer in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some, as we say, that are basically sold out to the Lord. There are those who are committed to the cause, but just as sure, there are those who are somewhere else on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And we all growing in grace and in the knowledge of him. And anybody can change and be better. Praise the Lord. And we're all hoping for that. None of us have arrived yet. We're still in the journey. But this is a very, very big problem, because what it is, it has tainted, and to some degree, our representation in the world.
Yes. I want to repeat what I said. The branding, it's a great tool for business. But ministry is not business.
That's right.
Ministry is God's business.
Amen.
I look at, I often reference this as a business owner, those who worked for me, it was not their business.
Yeah.
They worked for me. They didn't have the right to make changes and implement their ideas without my first approval.
Amen.
Ministry being God's business, the application of our natural business processes on God's business isn't always God has met with God's approval.
Amen. And, you know, as we're speaking, the word legacy came to me.
Okay.
And we have to recognize and honor and respect our legacy.
Okay.
Our legacy in the body of Christ goes all the way back to the beginning church that started in Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers and sisters lost their lives, and they've been losing their lives ever since because of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not for sale. It's not negotiable. It is the message. And what has happened is the world has highly disesteem the church because we are into the branding. We are into the idea of money, and they can see it, and they recognize it. And we're not naive. It does take money to run a church. If you got a building, we understand that. But when the total emphasis is on we can't be successful without money, we're no greater than the world. Because the power of God is the power that we are operating with. It is the power of our currency. Our currency is the power of God. Hallelujah. It is the power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It is the power to preach the gospel to a soul and to see their lives immediately transformed. It is the power to speak into the atmosphere to change things. It is the power to influence.
Yeah.
And when we lose that, and when that is disesteemed, and when that is downplayed, we're no threat to anybody.
I look, and I agree with you, and I look at the biblical story when Moses had the commission from God to free the children of Israel.
Yes.
And he went before Pharaoh's court. And I believe the first act he did was to throw his staff down.
Yes.
And Pharaoh's servants, Pharaoh's court, wizards, I believe they were.
Yes.
They threw their staff down.
Yes.
And they also, all of them were turned into snakes. But Moses' staff that turned into a snake ate the other two wizards,
yes.
Ate their snakes.
Lord.
And I think about this especially because I'm looking at young people. And it is a new trend now to teach meditation.
Yes.
It's a new trend to teach from kindergarten on up to the college level meditation,
yes.
And mindfulness,
yes.
And all of these great trends. They are getting great results.
Yes.
They are getting, these students are getting better grades. They're not having as many behavioral problems. The world has found success in this slow yourself down doing and what's going around you. It is a great thing, but it isn't the power of God.
Amen.
And it isn't the power and all that power speaks of that we have access to.
Yes.
Because one of the identities of Jesus is to be Jehovah Shalom.
Yes.
He's the God of peace.
Amen.
And that God of peace is so beyond mindfulness. It is beyond meditation.
Yes.
It is the power to be able to be in the midst of unbelievable stress and disturbances,
yes.
As he did when he told the storm to be still, that power is so beyond that. And even though the world has some tools and the world has some things they're turning to, they're still relying on the body of Christ to come forth with the power of God in display, in rescue, in healings, in every aspect. If we are walking in the power of God, as Jesus spoke to the wind, we can speak to individuals and their atmosphere is immediately changed just by a word from us.
Amen.
And mindfulness and meditation and all these other works of flesh or the enemy does not walk in that type of dunamis or power.
Amen. And that should stir up the church alone. Mm-hmm. The thing that you just mentioned about these alternative mind control things, because in many cases, people are being exposed very subtly,
subtly to
demonic entities that are entering into them and setting up a foundation of confidence,
mm-hmm.
that if they get results through meditation and they're feeling better and their mind
and
is clear.
And in the wall, they don't need God.
And yeah, and many times that entity is setting up a resistance to the true and the living God. Why? Mm-hmm. And you come with a message of believe the Lord and have mm-hmm. peace in your life. Well, you'll say, I already got peace.
Yeah.
I got meditation.
Yeah.
And not knowing that the door has been opened to an alternative to the true and the living God.
So we must always know, no matter what devices, no matter what bag of tricks the enemy come up with, no matter what his plan is, we have the good.
Amen.
Because in us, as God's children, hardwired in us is the need for God.
Yes.
And you quote this all the time. A fool has said in his heart,
yes,
there is no God. Knowing, believing, having confidence, living your life in this total consumption that the world needs us.
Yeah.
They need us because they need God, and we are God carriers.
Yes.
We are the spiritual encounter the world is longing for. They got up this morning or else this afternoon, and they are hunger and thirsting for what God has put in us.
Amen.
They can, as you said, they can go and meditate and they can tell, convince themselves that they don't need God and what is this God and I'm God and God,
amen,
God is not necessary that you need Jesus. Whatever their belief system is, the spiritual power of God that is in us is unlike nothing else.
Yes.
Because of this void.
Amen. I feel like I'm branded right now. Amen. I got the brand of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I can feel the branding in my heart. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He branded my heart. He branded me with his word. He branded me with his power. Amen. If you want to get branded, that's the branding to have. Amen.
Yeah, yeah. When you think of Alka-Seltzer and flop, flop, what a relief
it is. Oh, what a relief it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I want people, when they think of Sybil, they get a Hondo Chardonnay in their mouth because of that brand. And they had an encounter with the God of the universe.
Yes.
The God that sits high and looks low, the God that know every hair on our head,
yes,
has counted every hair, that know every detail. My 24-year-old son, he just refused to believe that the snowflakes are all different. He just can't compute it.
Yes.
It's hard for the world to wrap their mind around all that God is.
Yes. All powerful. Omnipotent.
Yes.
All-knowing, omniscient.
Yes.
Everywhere at the same time, omnipresent.
Mm-hmm.
He is the God of glory, and his name is Jesus. You can't say Jesus too many times without something taking place. Something changes in the atmosphere when you say Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That name that is above every name.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory.
God.
I thank the Lord tonight because, you know, the church in many ways, but not in total, but in many places we have maybe gotten a little bit off the track, mm-hmm. and the emphasis is on things other than what our purpose for. God has put us here. It means nothing. Let me say this. It means nothing to live this life, to live as a king, mm-hmm. or a master of anything, or to have all of the world's resources at your hand, mm-hmm. and to leave here without the confidence of eternal life. That is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Because if you live to be 150, it's a drop in the ocean of time concerning eternity.
Yeah.
Amen. And so if God chooses to cause us or allow us to have the troubles of life, as I talked about earlier, about my brothers and sisters in other parts of the world suffering in ways that we don't suffer here in the United States. But who knows, we may see it. We may see it. But one thing we have to be sure about is that we have one that will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus.
Amen. Whether you live a short time or live to be older than Methuselah, the eternal life,
yes.
doesn't compare.
Amen.
Eternity doesn't compare,
yes.
to our brief journey on this side,
yes.
without a doubt. Well, God bless every one of my listeners. Thank you for joining in. Oh, I have thoroughly been blessed by this topic. I encourage you to invite others. We will be here the first week. The first Thursday in April, you can tune back in to Blog Talk, call the number, mute your phone, open your word, and let's dig in. We want to say God bless you. We love you. We appreciate you tuning in tonight. If you would like to contact us, I'm going to give you our personal contact information, and that is MelvinPeoples@yahoo.com and Sybil Peoples, and that Peoples is with two E's, and my first name is uniquely spelled Sibyl. We would really appreciate any of your feedback, your comments, your questions. Make a suggestion, and we'll address some of those suggestions in a topic. We love to take on the Word of God and current events and topics like that. So please give us shoot us an email. So thrilled to hear from you. And we wish you the best. God bless you, Melvin.
We thank you very much. We really enjoyed ourselves. May God bless you richly and keep you.
Amen. Good night.